Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Jude. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're going to begin today, and for some several sessions yet to come, we're going to be talking about the general epistle of Jude. It's a very small book of only 25 verses, one chapter, therefore, and yet it is a very important part of the whole of Scripture. Jude being one of the 66 books of the canon of Scripture. We know that Jude was the brother of James, and he was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Some would ask, why a half-brother? Well, because Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit in a virgin's womb, and Jude was the product of a relationship between Joseph and his wife Mary. James, the brother of Jude or Judas, and the half-brother of Jesus, was in that family, of course, as well. Now, depending on the scholarship, you see that this book was written around AD 66 or AD 70. Some say that it was written as close to the destruction of the temple in AD 70 as it could be written, but most would tell you that it was written prior to the destruction of the temple. And AD 66 or AD 70 will probably fit within the timeline if you're studying such things about when scriptures were written. Either one will fit within the timeline, I think, without much trouble. The Holy Spirit of God is seen as moving upon this man, Jude. The theme of the book is that of contending for the faith. It's also assurance in the days of apostasy. And if we look at what's going on around us today in this world, we see apostasy. Now, what is apostasy? Let's get our terms and try to stay in the defining of terms as we go through the Scripture. Apostasy is a falling away. Not necessarily a falling away of those who have embraced the faith as much as a falling away of those who are close to or near embracing the faith. But nonetheless, apostasy is from those who have broken from the faith, those who have fallen away. And so this is a book that was written for assurance in the days of apostasy, as well as to steel our backbones, spiritually speaking, to have us contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. It's a letter. That's why it's called a general epistle. A general epistle is an epistle not written to one specific church or group or individual, but is written generally to all Christians who will be reading it. And so Jude writes this letter, a very short letter. It's sort of a postcard of sorts. And he predicts apostasy of the professing church, the cause of the apostasy, the course of the apostasy, and it's treated as if it's already here when he wrote this book in AD 66 or AD 70 or somewhere in that time frame, certainly in the first century. And if you look at 2 Timothy, if you look at 2 Peter, when those authors, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were writing their books, their epistles, their work, they too treated the apostasy as it already being there. And so this is not unusual for Jude to treat it as if the apostasy is in place, because probably, truth being known, the way human beings are and how we react and respond and unfortunately bow to temptations, the apostasy was probably already in place without question. According to some who have outlined the book, you have five divisions of the book: the introduction, the reason for the epistle, the fact that apostasy is possible within the professing church. Fourth thing would be that apostate teachers are given some description so that you can understand who they are. And then an assurance of the saints and confirmation of the truth, and then comforting of the saints as well would be the fifth division. Before we get into the meat of the text, let's get into the introduction, shall we? And we begin by reading there at verse 1 of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Let's take a look at those two verses. Jude identifies himself by name. He calls himself the servant of Jesus Christ, and the word servant there is the same word as used for bond slave, meaning, I have put myself into servitude, and I am a servant or a slave until such time as my bond is paid, my service is complete, my master releases me, or I die in the service of my master. Well, we know that as a bond slave of Jesus Christ, as a servant of Jesus Christ, our master will never release us, because it is for our benefit that we serve him, because of our love for him that we serve our master, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also know that as we are a bond slave of Jesus Christ, that he has bought us with a price that we could never afford to pay to get our release from him. He's bought us with the price of his very own blood. Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary for the sole purpose of redeeming us from the sin system. And he took us out of that world and put us into a new situation. And so when he bought us with the price of his blood. How could we ever repay him? We cannot. And so we are the bondslave, the servant of Jesus Christ, just as Jude himself is, and as he reports himself as such. Now notice, this is where we sometimes sort of miss it. We forget that Jude was the half-brother, the human brother of Jesus Christ. And by forgetting that, we see him only as a follower of Christ. From what we can read in Scripture, and without too much thinking, we find that Jude was not a follower of Jesus Christ, apparently, until after his death on the cross and his resurrection in power. After his resurrection, James and Jude, and perhaps the rest of the family, for all that we know, became aware of the truth of who Christ Jesus was. Their half-brother was indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it was not until the resurrection, or after the resurrection, that they embraced the truth of who Christ Jesus is and was. Now, having said that, we see him presenting himself as a bond slave, as a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James, but he does not say a brother of Jesus. Now, we've explained the half-brother portion, but he didn't call upon anyone to recognize him as part of the human family of Jesus the Christ. He was quite humble in that he did not call upon anyone to remember that he was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and therefore his words should be heard by virtue of his relationship. Now, oftentimes, people name drop. They drop those names, you know. Somebody that's important. Well, I spent some time with so-and-so, or we were talking about this, and we decided to, whatever the situation was. And they drop a name. And maybe it's somebody you know, and maybe it's somebody you don't know. Unfortunately, there are so many, quote-unquote, so many famous people these days that a lot of famous people are unknown to me. Does that make any sense? Well, it should, because we as Christians, we who bear the name of Christ, those of us who are bond slaves to Christ, those of us who are servants of Christ, move in a different set of circles, or at least should move in a different set of circles, than those that would be considered worldly stars or famous people of the world. We move in different circles. But even within the circle of Christians, even conservative Christians such as myself, I still don't know all the stars of the firmament of this group. In other words, I don't know everybody that's famous. Do you? I know some people perhaps that are more infamous than famous, but I would really have a hard time dropping names of the famous, although I could, I suppose, from having met some presidents and governors and senators and congressmen and multi-millionaires and even billionaires I've met over the years. I guess I could drop a name or two, but if I did, what value would it be? What would be the value of dropping a name, of saying, oh, I know so-and-so? Well, that's the way Jude looked at it. He saw no value in corroborating his words or substantiating his thoughts. No. His value in name-dropping was the fact that he was a bondslave of Jesus Christ. That was his position. He was a servant of the Lord. And, oh, by the way, he was brother to James. But his credentials here are not bound up in his name-dropping. His credentials are bound up in the fact of his service. His service is for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, that's where we are to be bound up. That is where we are to be seen, and our credibility is to be seen, that we are servants of the Lord. When we're seen as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, that should be the call and the credential for each one of us. I know when we study Paul, he says, did I bring you letters? Well, no. Did I need to have letters? No, I just show you my work. I show you what I do for the Lord. And that's the way it should be with us, my friend. we should be more concerned about our credentials of being a bondslave, a servant for Jesus Christ, than the names we could drop of who we know or don't know. And so Jude was very humble here, and he presented himself as the bondservant, the bondslave of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. And then he says, this is to whom I am writing. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ and called. Let's look at the word sanctified. Are we sanctified if we're in Christ? Yes, we are. We are set apart unto God. No question about it. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are a special group of people. In fact, Peter in the King James calls us peculiar people, and we are. Peculiar means a different type, an unusual type of person or being. And indeed, we are peculiar. So we're set apart unto God. That's one way of looking at sanctification. In fact, it's the way we normally look at sanctification, being set apart unto God, being set apart from the world and the world's systems and the world's delights and all the things that go with the world. However, this could also be translated as loved or beloved. And indeed, we are both set apart unto God, and we are beloved of God. And so, sanctified there, in some of the Greek texts, show us that it is loved. So, let's read it this way. Jude, the bondslave of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are loved and set apart unto God by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That's who I'm writing to. Well, he's writing to you, my friend. He's writing to all Christians of all ages that take the time to read this little book of Jude. Let's get to the next portion here. And preserved. We're sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. This is where I like to say you're preserved and not pickled. If you're pickled, you're pickled in a vat of salt water or vinegar. But if you're preserved, it's usually in something a little sweeter. Oh, I know, we can preserve ham with salt, can't we? As well as sugar. But I prefer to think of us being preserved in Christ in a very sweet way, a very pleasant preservation in Christ Jesus. And we are the called ones, beloved in God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. We are kept for Jesus Christ. We are in Christ Jesus, and we are in Him in perpetuity, in eternity. We are in Christ because of His work in our lives. So we are the beloved of God, we are the sanctified, the set apart unto God by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and we are called out by Christ Jesus. We are called. What are we called to do? What are we called to do? Well, we're called into His service. We're called into His name. We're called into the work of Christ, but we're called into the body of Christ as well. And we are called by the name of Christ. Now, this is something that really bothers me when I see people who are called Christians who are not acting, not living, not performing their daily tasks as a Christian. Not as a follower of Christ, not as a member of the body of Christ, not as a member of the bride of Christ, but they're doing their own thing. Oh, how sad that is. How sad indeed. Well, we've made it through one verse in our study today. Jude, the bondslave or servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are loved of God and set apart unto God by God Himself, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.